Ready in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast with Christina P.
Dang, listen. I have an incredible guest, but let me plug some dates. I added a show in Seattle, an early show for the parents, because God knows we don't want to go out at 10 p.m. San Francisco Palace of Fine Arts, and then I added a Gramercy Theater in Jew Dork Titties in March, and then I go to Ridgefield, Connecticut for one show one night, and ChristinaPOnline.com for tickets. You guys, I'm so fucking pumped to have this guy on. Like, we've been in DMing and we've been listening to each other's podcasts, and I feel like we've been vibing, and Toby Morse is finally fucking here.
Thank
in
you.
Austin.
Thanks for having me.
Bro.
This is awesome. I never traveled anywhere to be in a podcast. This is cool.
Seriously?
I haven't been to Austin in like 10 years. It's so nice.
It is really nice. It's a chill vibe. We got to get you to go to Mothership, to Rogan's Club.
I know. I saw there was a show last night when I landed, but it's too late.
When do you leave?
5 o'clock today.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I'm so in and out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so many people moved here. It's crazy.
I know.
Now I know why.
Yeah, it's chill. I like you. I like you because I think you're a deep dude. I feel like you get it. I love your podcast, One Life. One Life to Live, right?
One Life, One Chance.
One Life to Live.
One Life to Live.
That's
great TV show.
One.
Yeah.
But you have such a good perspective on life. And like, why? How did this happen? What traumatized you that you're so deep, you know?
It's crazy because I did have trauma. My dad died when I was 3. And then later on, I found punk rock and skateboarding.
Nice.
I think that saved me. I think that kind of raised me, like having these father figures, like Ian MacKay or Kevin Seconds, just different singers or bands and lyrics. And I think that I always loved, I don't know, I've always been a hyperactive kind of positive. I never tried any drugs or alcohol my whole life. So I like...
We were going to talk about that
too.
So
I'm just saying, like, I've been high on life since I stepped on a skateboard in 1983. I talked about this the other day. Like, that changed my life.
Yeah.
Kept me away from peer pressure and drugs and stupidity. My brothers were partying all the time once my dad passed in the house. People made fun of me. I was going to take my skateboard to the prom. I was prom king. I've always been high on life. I don't know. I've always been this kind of like positive person. Obviously, yeah, I'm not happy every single day. But like, I always see the good in things and the good in people that might be a weakness of mine. But yeah, I don't know. It's always been.
You think it's
life.
A weakness?
Kindness or weakness, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I try to also. And then I'm the Eastern European in me. I get so fucking suspicious. I'm like, this guy, I don't trust nobody. Especially, you know, well, anyway, I don't want to talk about this shit. So you've never touched drugs or alcohol, which I know I was reading that about you. Because you're straight edge.
Yes.
That's fucking, so... Okay, how did you hang out at the skate park and not?
I know.
Get high.
Like, I know.
Not that,
was,
all those
that
guys
was the 80s too. Yeah,
do,
yeah, yeah.
But
I think that's probably more now. I don't know. I just once I found punk rock and then I found like Sex Pistols and stuff. I was like, this is cool. I can skate to it, but what is a bollock? And
right.
And what is a Sex Pistol? And a lot
and
of the
where's
punk,
Birmingham?
Yeah, a lot of the punk rock shit was like, fuck your parents and anarchy. And I'm like, shit, I love my mom. She's raising 3 boys by herself. Do you know what I mean? So then I found hardcore, which is like, it's not just fuck the world, this is fix the world, make it a better place. So that's when I found like 7 Seconds, Minor Threat, Gorilla Biscuits, Dag, like all these bands that had melody and had like lyrics. And then Minor Threat, obviously straight edge. And I was 13, I hadn't tried anything yet. And then I heard this song and it's like, fuck, I can skate to this. It's awesome. And this song's telling me like, I don't have to drink or do drugs to fit in. Like at 13 years old, I was like, I'm never trying anything. And
that's
I never did.
Awesome.
I'm 53.
That's amazing.
It's kind of crazy, right?
I saw this meme on like Instagram. It's like some people solve their emotional problems through music. And that's totally who I was too as a teenager. I found
Same.
The Cure. I found Sex Pistols, Joy Division, Bauhaus, and all these, you know, English or 80s bands. And I connected. And I couldn't express what was going on inside of me, but these singers, these people could. And it saved my life, you know?
Same.
You're like, whoa, yeah, I don't understand people that don't have these deep emotional connections to
music or
to
people
music.
That don't listen to music bugs me out. I had somebody tell me a podcast and I don't listen to music. I'm like, for real? Like, what are you listening to?
Yeah.
It changed my life. I probably have the most band tattoos on my body. I have Robert Smith tattooed on my body.
Really?
Prince tattooed on my butt. Madonna tattoo. I have everything. Coldplay. Coldplay is one of my favorite bands. I'm crazy. But I love music. It's just everything about music. I stopped eating meat in 1988 because of music, because of punk rock and animal rights. And I just been on this path of just like being young till I die, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, not some great Peter Pan shit. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I live my lyrics. I live the music I grew up on. I'm still a big kid. I still skate.
That's cool. Yeah. How's that in your 50s? Because I know Tony Hawk is not slowed down.
Well, true story. I had a knee brace on up until an hour ago. I slammed, Mike from Liquid Death has a half pipe, and I went to his house and skated. Shout out to Mike Cesario, whatever.
Hey.
And the homie. And I've been skating there for a couple weeks and trying to get back on my 80s tricks, but I slammed on it on a rock and roll on Saturday. I couldn't walk Saturday and Sunday. I was like, oh my God, I have to do this podcast.
Fuck.
So I was putting in the cold plunge every day, and it worked. And today I took my knee brace off because last night I got called into the secret room at LAX to take my pants down because my knee brace was going off through the...
Oh, that's what you mean.
That's never happened my whole life. And I was like, yeah. I was so cool about it. I thought I'd be more shook, but they brought me in the room and like took my pants down and took off my knee brace, showed it to them because it was having an alarm. But anyway, I took it off today. I'm walking, but I'm still skating. Yes, it's harder. Yeah. Tony Hawk's the god. Yeah. But I love skateboarding still. I don't know.
I do too. I tried as a girl. I think back then I was just admiring of skaters.
Yeah.
I love skater culture. I love punk rock culture too. And I think it resonated with me because it was it's DIY, which I love this idea of.
Best.
By the way, the Sex Pistols couldn't play a fucking instrument, right?
Facts.
And it was based on a fashion aesthetic, right? Like Vivian Westwood and Johnny Lydon or no, yeah.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, Johnny Lydon. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, well, let's just start a band that fits these clothes. And you're like, wait, what?
It is kind of crazy.
And then, right, but then they created like this voice of this generation, these poor boys who they couldn't find jobs or whatever. Everybody's poor in England. And then, right, and then it trickles into New York.
Dude, Ramones, Iggy Pop, Stooges, all that.
Yeah.
But it's crazy that they were put together and it sounded so good. It didn't seem forced to me.
No.
Now, I didn't know that as a kid. I had the Nevermind the Bollocks 8-track. That's
the
old thing.
Oh, my God.
And, but then you realize later, like, wow, they were put together. It's kind of like, not like a boy, I guess like a boy band in a sense. I don't want to say that, but.
Yes, it was meant to be, well, yeah, Johnny Lydon was the, right? Well, no, am I thinking
of, the right name?
There's someone else.
Say, this is Johnny Lydon.
Who's the guy? Just great. Who created the Sex Pistols?
Oh, yeah.
It's a guy.
The manager.
Not Stephen Cook. That's the guy.
No. What's the manager? I need to pull it out for
he's
you.
He's
incredible.
Like the mastermind behind this, but then
he
it kind
is.
Of.
Malcolm McLaren.
Yes.
Yeah. He created it.
Yeah. But then it becomes a movement. It becomes this real thing. And then you have actual, you know, other bands like Clash coming in.
The Ramones.
I mean.
Dude.
And they're so simple, right? They just
four chords, whatever. Yeah. Just their look, too, is just like, because you're so used to punk being like mohawks and spikes. They just had like jeans on and like leather jackets and like the haircuts. It's like, what is this shit? But it's so good.
Well, because you can see that it's influenced by the 1950s.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to wear matching outfits and it's really simple and catchy. And then, but it's still rad.
Yeah.
But I love Rebellion. I love this idea that you can just pick up an instrument, learn it, fucking do it. Just fucking do it.
Yeah. I'm not a trained singer.
Are you? You start?
Because I was a roadie at first. I was behind the scenes for a couple years. And then I was like, I started like writing in a journal, like taking notes. Like I have something to say too. This is awesome. I don't want to just be the guy in the background. I love all these bands. Why can't I sing? Which I don't think I'm a singer, but, and I started a band. It was kind of a joke and it became now I'm celebrating 30 years next year of the band. It's like, it's been my life. It's crazy, man.
It's wild.
I know.
Isn't
and it's punk
wild?
Rock and it's never really, it's crazy about punk rock because people think it's like, because the year punk broke in 94 with Offspring and Green Day and all these bands, which helped all of us, it trickled down to us. They thought punk was a sellout and all this shit, but punk is still very underground and still very an interesting world. Like the fact that I'm in the band 30 years and we never had a hit song or like on the radio or a lot of MTV and stuff like that. And we're still, people still care.
Yeah.
Because there's people that still like check the history of the music.
Yeah.
And it's really pretty amazing. And punk rock is still like, people ask me, what do you do? What do you do? I'm in a band. What do you sound like? Oh, it's hardcore. What is that? Well, it's not as hard as Metallica. It's not as poppy as Green Day. It's somewhere in the middle. People don't understand the word hardcore or just even today, like just talking about it. I don't know. Yeah, I sing in a punk band, dude. I'm going to my son's school and feeding, like you have to serve at the school when he was a kid. They call me Tattoo Man. I'm just serving lunch to the kids. Like,
Tattoo
what
Man.
Is your weird ass dad doing? Like, He's got a cow and a pig on his hand. Yeah,
I know. That's the weird thing is like when you're a parent too, because you are a parent. Your son is grown. He's 20, but like.
But being in society, it's just weird. because touring is fantasy. Yeah. That's not the real life. And then you get back and you have to like, as soon as I used to walk in the door from a tour, my wife's like, here's your son.
Yeah.
So you've been gone for 6 weeks. It's your turn. You know, next day I'm, you know, doing daddy duties. It's like back to reality.
But isn't that lovely?
It's incredible. Yeah.
Because it's grounding. Like I remember.
Oh, I love that.
I was getting ready to film my last special and they're glamming me up and putting all this stupid makeup on. And I remember thinking to myself, in a matter of hours, I'm going to be wiping somebody's ass. Less than 12 hours.
I'll be doing the dishes. Yeah. I love that.
I do too.
I've been married 27 years. So like, I'm very blessed. Like my wife lets me still run around and be a big kid.
That's great.
And now my son's playing with me. He's traveled his whole life. You know, my wife is pregnant on tour. She was conceived on tour. Like all this crazy shit. It's just like, my son was conceived on tour. Yeah, it's just like, it's wild. My life has just been touring.
That's the one thing. So let me talk to you about that. There's a documentary I saw.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
The aging punk rocker. Like,
there's that one that's punk rock dads too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where you're these poor guys who signed record deals early and then now they're in their 50s and their 60s and they're still having to tour to make money. And I'm like, that sucks because the punk rock ethic is like, you should be poor. You shouldn't have stuff. And it's
should
like,
never make it.
Yeah, but like, I love the Dead Kennedys. I want the Dead love Kennedys them. To have money.
So I want the Bad Brains to be living in the mansions. Like
yes!
Stuff like that.
I love Bad Brains. Yeah.
But there's this weird shit like about punk rock where it's like, no, we only love you when you played to 10 people in our basement, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And then the minute you have success, like, no, you're a sellout. It's like, don't you want your favorite band to like do this forever?
Yeah, and be
don't you want them to inspire the world? It's like, I never understood that. But I get it. Like when you're a band you love before anybody else loves and they blow up, you're like, I heard them first and shit like that. It's like, but they're not yours.
Or I like their first album.
Yeah, I hate that shit. We had a t-shirt that said like, only like their first album. But yeah, like you want... Yeah, I want all these people to be chilling. These people that inspire me and change lives, you know? It's like the Ramones are there's only a couple alive and then like Rolling Stones are killing it. It's like, and I never wanted to have to do the band for money. Like I hang out with my band. We talk every day. There's so many bands that don't even talk to each other. Like these are my brothers. Like my brother and I literally started the band. My brother moved on to The Offspring now. He's been in that band for like 15 years. But like we love each other as our family. So it's like we do it because we love it. We don't do it because we have to. At one point, yeah, we're making money in the 90s and shit like that. But like now it's just like we go out and do a week tour, our weekends. I love that.
Yeah.
And we still have fun. I still believe these lyrics. It's crazy that I'm 53 and I love what I sing about. It's still me.
Well, you're not preaching, you know, negative stuff. Preaching like
we're super posy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like uplifting.
Yeah.
But you can still like dive and like fucking mosh to it. You know what I mean? You can still like, you can get aggressive to it. But like, yeah, I've always loved I don't know. There's enough anger and crazy shit in the world to like add to that.
I agree. There's enough poison.
Like, yeah.
I add more negativity to things. And I always try to be of service to others, even in, it sounds so corny, but you know, like you don't just want to like constantly just be shitting on things. You do want to provide an alternative, which I really like what you do too. It's like, well, no, like here's what's wrong with the world. But like, hey, you know what you can do?
Yeah.
You can do cool shit. Like you can make cool things and help people.
Yeah, because that's the punk rock I didn't like to destroy everything and fuck everything.
And then
it's okay,
what?
Now what? Now we can do to fix it. And that's why how I get into like, you know, animal rights and all that stuff, just straight edge and everything, just like going totally against the grain and not doing what everybody's doing. And like, I feel like at 53, I'm still the same person and I have these ethics and these morals that I've gotten from the 80s that I still, you know, my son's never tried anything and he's 20. And I don't preach to him about nothing. He sees me. And he's hyper like me as well. And he can do whatever the fuck he wants, but like he doesn't do anything. You know, he's high, he surfs every day, skates.
That's cool.
Plays drums. You know what I mean? So it's like, we have to be, for me, my number one thing is to be a role model for my kid. That's my number one job as a parent.
Absolutely.
Because if not, they're going to find it somewhere else.
Absolutely.
Some negative shit or something.
Absolutely. Gosh, it's so funny because one of my boys, Ellis, I think he's a hyper guy. He's like you and your son, it sounds like, where they're just, you guys are like vibrating. That's a type of personality where you got to like, at least what I found is I funnel it into something productive, you know, get that kid into sports, get that kid into something, because that all that shit can go real south. Like if they find the wrong group of friends, now you're into drugs and, you know, the skate park back in the day wasn't a wholesome place. I think it is now because I got him into skateboarding a little too.
Okay.
And it's wholesome as shit. You're like, where's like the cool kids?
Depends where you go though. There's some gritty ones too in LA though, for sure.
Oh, Venice is dicey as fuck.
My wife works at the Barracks for like 10 years. It's like the private skate park in LA. It's like the most famous. It's like in all the skate videos.
It's called
the Barracks. So it's like a private invite place. So my son kind of grew up skating there, which is nice. But he goes to outdoor parks as well. But like, yeah, you're right. It's like, I probably was on Ritalin as a kid. I'm almost positive.
Did they medicate you?
Probably, because I was hyper as hell.
Yeah, but are you still medicated?
No, hell no. When I was a kid, probably. I quit caffeine too on November 9th. So it's been like a couple weeks since I quit caffeine. I don't need caffeine.
Yeah, you're done.
It's horrifying. It made me so crazy. My wife hates me on caffeine.
I like to feel a little agitated. It's like when people, I asked this guy one time why he smokes crack, and he's like, I like to look out the peephole and I like to be paranoid. And I'm like,
wow.
Yeah. But then I kind of like that feeling with coffee too, where you're just a little too amped. You're just a little too crazy.
You're a big coffee person?
Yeah.
How many coffees a day?
Two. Okay. One in the morning and then one in the afternoon when I'm recording.
So is it hard to go to sleep at night? Because that was my problem.
No.
I was drinking these yerba mate things with like 80 milligrams of caffeine, which isn't a lot to most people. I was banging like two a day, maybe no sugar in them, like for like a year. And it's healthy, it has mushrooms in it. It's from the Amazon.
Oh, yeah, I like that stuff. I like that. It calms me down.
Yeah, but it didn't for me.
Oh.
And my wife ADHD. And kid, I'm already a spaz in my house. So like my wife's like, dude. So I've been off for like 3 weeks. I don't need it, as you can tell. Like it wasn't doing me any good having caffeine. I crash really hard and shit.
You know what's interesting about you, and I think we're similar in this way, is that we're both like these pretty banal people in our, I am assuming. Like I have the husband that I've had for 20 years. I got my family. I actually have a very structured, boundaried existence, and then allows me to be safe in the creative world. You know what I mean? Like then I can go out to the club and make jokes about fucking pronoun people or trans, whatever the fuck I'm talking about right now.
Yeah.
Because I know that's crazy town, but then I can retreat into
your normal little life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, you also have an amazing support system too at home as well.
Yeah.
So you can just, that's really important. Yeah. To have that balance. Like I was thinking yesterday, I was like, just leaving for one day, I'm like, God, I'm gonna miss my wife and son so much. I'm just, these weirdos drive me crazy. But now I'm leaving for like 24 hours, and then I was texting from the plane, like the flight's great. Me and my son have problems with flying. We hate flying, and it was just like great flight. And I don't know, it's interesting how the balance is so important.
It is.
I don't know if I'd be doing the same shit if I didn't have an amazing wife for that many years and a best friend and all this stuff.
I think that's it, because people, like, if you grow up with chaos and it sounds like you know, your dad dying young, you can go the other way real quick.
It's true. I could have went the totally way. Yo, my dad, I did. Yeah, and I didn't. My brothers party pretty hard and they're pretty good now. They have kids and married and I think they still drink. But like, yeah, I could have went totally insane, but punk rock and skateboarding, man.
Isn't
it
that
really
great?
Fucking saved me, man. Because it's definitely have some trauma. I just started going to therapy for the first time. I'm the only person my whole life. My whole family's ever been in therapy, just me right now.
Me too. Congrats.
Yeah.
You're breaking the cycle.
I am. It's a big deal. And now they're kind of asking me, how is it? I might do it too.
Yeah.
My brothers are. I'm just saying, because like just having had a weird thing, no closure, my dad passing. I was too young. It's like my mom had to protect us and didn't go to the funeral, all that stuff. And I write songs about it. I've been singing about it for years. And I feel like that's been my therapy. But like once you talk to somebody, it's like, whoa. Yeah. So the layers and stuff, it's crazy.
It's crazy, dude. And it's interesting you say that even. So how did your father pass?
He had a rare heart condition. He was like 33.
Oh, fuck.
It's so bananas. And so when each time my two brothers reached that age, oh my God, I'm gonna get my heart checked at 33. We all made it through, like obviously. But yeah, it's pretty wild. And he came home. He was having chest pains at work. I remember I was at my aunt's house and my mom was working. He laid on the bed and he's like, I remember like something's wrong with my dad. He went to the hospital and never came back. Crazy.
Wow.
It's super crazy, man. Like I'll get emo right now talking about it.
Yeah,
because
I
definitely have some problems with it, but talking about it and singing about it, I was like, this is sick. I can write these songs about it and get it out. But then you become a dad.
Oh boy.
And then there's no dad to reach out to and say, hey, maybe when you took me fishing, you know, to the ball game and this and that. Like becoming a dad was crazy. That's just a whole different. I became super emo. I'm like totally went from hardcore to emo. Just crying.
You're a goth kid now.
Yeah, just crying about every commercial and every movie and just
what?
Like,
because you really didn't have a physical. I mean, who knows what your childhood could have been? You don't even know who you could have been.
I could have went to the military. Like my uncle was always, you should go to the military. He was trying to get me and my brothers to go to the military, and I'm like,
nah.
And I moved to New York like 17 years old by myself. I was like, I'm moving to New York. I'm gonna support this scene. I love CBGBs. I got dropped up at CBGBs, and like
nice.
That's where my life began, pretty much. crazy.
Dude, you're like, I love this. I feel like I could have, if I were a boy, I probably would have been similar. Cause like, yeah, I love everything. It's my vibe. I'd be a skater.
Yeah.
Tatted up.
I try to be, my goal is to be a pro skater. I got in Thrasher in 83. I was a
really?
I was a freestyle skater. And then I got my first girlfriend. It was a rap. Then the skateboard was like over there. Girls ruined everything.
Yeah.
And then I gave up skating. I was like, fuck. And I moved to New York and it was really not much skating there. The Brooklyn Banks, a couple of mini ramps, but like.
That's Cali though.
Skating, I know.
Yeah.
And now I'm like reborn, like skating again. Like my son's a ripper. He's
That's
a street
dope.
Skater. Yeah.
That's
I don't know. I love California for that.
What an inch. So it's funny you say that. What you're singing about your dad. Isn't that? So I have mommy issues. My mother was schizophrenic and so I never had a mom. And
sorry.
See, now I'm going to start crying.
Sorry about that.
Hey, it's, you know, that everyone see, this is why I talk
this
about
this
stuff.
This is a therapy session
stuff.
Right
yeah.
now.
But my therapist is always like, you know, being creative is the highest form of dealing with your emotional stuff.
I agree.
And you don't have to be a professional punk rock singer or comedian. You can paint. You can do fucking poetry. You can garden, whatever. Do something creative.
Whatever it takes. It works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To get that, to sublimate that out. The sadness, but I don't know, like now because I've been in therapy for a minute, like for 17 years.
Wow.
15 years, yeah. And like, dude, what's wild is like, it's like an onion, right? Like the first layer of just accepting what happened to you, like really, really letting it metabolize. Like, wow, that was wild. That was a trip, huh?
Yeah.
That happened. Okay. Well, how do I feel about it? Yeah. And then you really start to sink into the feelings of it, which I couldn't identify a feeling in therapy for 5 years. That's how fucking shut off I was.
Wow.
I didn't have a feeling because my mom was crazy. My dad's an alcoholic. So I was never mirrored. You know, you teach your kid how to deal with stuff like, oh, you're bummed, dude. What's going on? Tell me about what you're feeling. Someone fucked with you at school. They tell me about it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get that. Like,
same.
Yeah.
Same. We're so emotionally
like,
connected
up.
To our children. That communication yeah. that I never had.
Yeah.
Is so important.
It's so important. And even so I get the question a lot, like, well, how do you mother when you were never mothered? And it's such a deep thing because I think the real question for me is like, I felt like a space alien because I just felt like such a freak, you know, like, well, your mom's what? Talking to walls and shit. And like, you know, so how do you like teach someone to be a normal person when you're fucking definitely not?
Yeah.
Person. So I just felt so defective.
Mm.
Like, how am I going to be loving to somebody? But then you know you have it in you. You know you're not
definitely have it
that
in you.
Broken. You are still a human. You're still intact. You have to trust that instinct, you know?
Yeah. I didn't have like, obviously my mom loved us and she raised us and had food on her table, but she was working like three jobs.
Oh,
and
my
like,
God.
You know, she chain smoked Virginia Slims and made my clothes smell like cigarettes or... If we had something on her face, she'd lick her finger, rub it off your face, and your face would smell like cigarettes and all this shit. That's probably why I never did drugs or cigarettes or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, and then, yeah, I'm the most emo dad. My wife's like more tougher. She's from Chicago. Do you know what I mean? It's just we have a good balance, but like,
yeah.
But just that communication, like just, we always say we love each other. My family's very like, just, my son would text me from school and say, hey, the kids are skipping ninth period. Can I skip ninth period? I'm like, of course, nobody's texting their parents asking them that.
No.
Doing it. Like we talk about everything. There's this total trust where like he would never lie to us because we know exactly where he is, what he's doing. We trust him. He's the designated driver for his friends in high school because he didn't drink. Like we have
that's good.
And the communication, because if you don't trust your kids and they know you don't trust them, then they're just gonna wild out. I think it's just that bond. It's that so important. And I have that bond. My son still lives at home. That's kind of a thing now where kids are living at home later in life. And I'm like,
the pandemic.
And I'm like, we're going to fucking afford them in LA anyway.
Yeah.
It's so expensive.
Well, and you know,
pandemic, yeah.
I think that really, it delayed everybody's life by a few years.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I can't, I'm having like the empty nest syndrome kind of thing. Like he's the only kid, like what's going to happen? He moves out, walk by his bedroom. Like I get so emo thinking about it, but like, he can't afford moving here. He's chilling. He has a job and stuff, but it's just like, it's a different world for sure.
It is a different world. And what is wrong with supporting your kids past 18? It's only a very American concept that like, oh, 18, get the fuck out, dummy. And you're like, but I'm broke.
Yeah.
So figure it out. It's like, yeah, but then you're just going to make bad decisions out of desperation because no one's helping you. Like, what is this shit? Why not have parents that help you out, get you on your feet?
And your kids will resent you.
Yeah.
I got to get kicked out when I was 17.
So did I. My mother was like, "When the minute you turn 18, you're out." And I was like, "Bye, bitch. I'll see you at 17. I was like, "Get me the fuck out of here."
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of wanted to go at that moment because my mom had like this crazy redneck boyfriend who was like skinning squirrels. We lived in Southern Maryland because my mom had a job there. It was dead squirrels in the garage. I was like, what the fuck? And God, I moved in with my girlfriend who I quit skateboarding for. I moved into her attic of her parents' house. I had to clean their pool and stuff. It was so weird. But yeah, my mom kicked me out too. And I would never do that to my kid. But that was a different time. I get it. But like, I don't know. Maybe it's a resentment. I don't know. I'm reading this book. It's like... Grandchildren of Alcoholic Grandparents or something. That's the book my therapist gave me. Like,
grandchildren, it's generational alcoholism you're dealing with.
Yeah. I didn't even thought about that. Like how my mom was treated by her father.
Oh, boy,
and how abusive my grandfather was to my grandma and just shit like that and stuff I didn't really know. And the thing about peeling back those layers, it's kind of scary. I'm like, what if I find out something I wish I never knew? I don't know.
Me too.
That's the thing about it. It's like, do I want to know that? I lived my whole life without knowing that. Do you know
I'm
what I mean?
Worried too. I'm like, what if I've repressed the worst memory
That's
ever?
What I'm saying.
I know. But here's what my shrink told me. And she's like, well, I go, what if I fucking remember something that I'll just have to be institutionalized? And she's like, then we'll institutionalize you. You'll be okay. Like, we'll take care of you. No, but like the point being, like, you'll be cared for. You're not going to fall apart. Don't worry. You'll be okay.
But still.
You'll be okay. You've survived the worst already. Like, you've already lived through whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
You've already lived through it. So remembering it is just dealing with the feelings, and you can handle your feelings now, you know?
Yeah, I like
That's
how therapy is cool.
Tells me.
I like how it's cool to go to therapy and talk about it.
Fucking finally.
And be open with your feelings and be honest about who the fuck you are and what you're dealing with and not like portray some fake image of, I don't know, it's interesting.
It's a, that's
it's just keeping it 100% real, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's,
and I do like this about Gen Z. Look, there's not a lot I don't give a fuck about your pronouns. Sorry, it's never going to happen. I don't like the baristas at Starbucks. They're rude as shit. But I like this openness, and I like the idea that, yes, gender is, you're not just a boy or a girl now. You can be a little, you know, if you're like a gay kid, you don't feel like you want to fucking kill yourself, which is cool. And yeah, they have feelings.
You
now.
Can speak about it and talk to people about it and not
That's
keep
right.
it inside.
And not
Which
just,
a lot of people did in our generation, probably
yes.
kept shit bottled up and then exploded and
or
whatever.
Or you fucking marry a straight woman and you ruin her life. That's what happens.
Or be afraid to tell your parents. Imagine just being can't tell your parents like who you love, what you want. I know. I would never.
Especially because I feel like gayness is so junior varsity now. You're just like, oh, you're gay. So what? But back in our day, it was a big deal.
Yeah. Just like having to hide from your parents. That sucks.
That's
a no communication thing though. Like if you were in, I don't know. I guess it was kind of cool like to hide things back then and be like rebellious child against your parents, depending what your childhood was. Like, I don't know. I don't hate my mom. I didn't hate my mom. I definitely had some resentment, but like she did her best. You know, I'm alive. I'm here. You know, I made it through all that shit and became a dad. I try to be the best dad I can. I'm not perfect, but and I'm still learning. He's 20. Like everything changes. He's on the dating apps now and all this shit. It's just like,
that's crazy.
It's crazy.
Isn't that fucking, it's so funny. Like, cause I talk to people dating on the apps now too. And could you even imagine?
No.
Like, nah. And then like some hoe just shows up and sucks your dick
and that's like, it you
so weird.
I was talking to my son. I was like, back in the day we take him to the movies. You meet them in person you meet them in person first in real life first we meet and then we see if there's a chemistry.
Yeah,
then we might hang out again, maybe go to the movies, get some food.
Yeah,
but now it's just like those apps are like smash and grab. It's just
dude.
Crazy
dude. I was watching like this BBC show yesterday, you know, it's like castles and manors and like, you know, like I love this idea. I pretend that I'm posh, you know. I watch these shows and I imagine I have tact and I'm just English. And and the guy, the lord says to the lady, might I call on you sometime? And my husband's there and he's like, what fucking gay shit are you watching? And I'm like, no, just watch. I go, he asked her, may I call on you, meaning may I just show up at your home sometime and maybe we could stroll through the garden. And that's how they get to know each other. And I'm like, wow, how far have we come from
that?
Like,
is crazy.
Might I call on you?
It's like an old school booty call or something, or something like that.
It is, dude. That's how they did it back in the day. Might I call on you?
And now kids don't talk on the phone because it's too personal.
That's different. Wow.
And we have, my house is all 1950s. So it's, I live with I Love Lucy basically.
Oh my
So we
God.
Have a dial, like a rotary phone.
Yeah, yeah.
So my son learned how to call his friends on that phone as a kid. My wife made him use that phone to learn how to use a phone because a lot of kids don't even ever use the phone before, a home phone.
Yeah.
And just calling, having conversations with your friends like we did when we were kids.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen no more. It's just like these apps, you go on a date. there's like no first or second base. None of that stuff. It's just like, it's a crazy, scary world. I can't imagine being single.
Well, there's no first or second base.
I don't think so, man. No, my.
Do you guys just go? These Josh's are baby.
And what are those? What are the bases anyway?
Do you guys do bases still, or you just go straight?
I mean, you got to start somewhere, right?
Okay.
But I think those bases have changed. Like, what is first was us, like holding hands.
Holding hands.
And then maybe kissing. Frenching. But now it's just, I don't want to say on here, but it's just, now it's just like,
you can say it here. Wait, so what was your first base? Just holding hands and Frenching?
Yeah, and start making out, I guess.
Okay.
For sure. Definitely in the 80s, for sure. Like, I can't imagine being single at 53 in Los Angeles.
Oh, my God.
Just being single in general.
I kill myself.
What do we do?
I don't know, dude. Because I don't
know. Like older people apps.
And here's the deal, man, is like with divorce, because I'm in it to win it with Tommy Buns. Like, I've...
How long have you been married for?
Almost 20 years we've been together.
Congrats.
Yeah, I'm married maybe, I don't know, 16? I forget the number. But yeah.
They get this shit right. Okay,
yeah. Oh, wait, we got married. But because I've seen it. Like, both my parents got divorced, remarried. And guess what? If you haven't done the work in between picking partners, you're just going to pick the same fucking thing.
Man. A lot of people do that. I see that.
And you're like, what? And now you're going to make stepchildren and half children and da-da-da-da-da and fuck up this kid. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Just stick it out. If this person is not addicted to drugs or like has a major problem like gambling or something destructive, just fucking stick it out, bro. Work through it with that person if you can. Like, is your wife into, is she curious about herself, her mind and stuff too? Is she in therapy? Does she need it?
She's badass, normal. Man.
Yeah.
My wife drinks 2 Diet Big Gulps a day. My wife is like Midwest. She drives a 65 Ford Falcon. She's badass. I love it. She's like, she had a crazy life as well.
Yeah.
But no, she's not. It's just me. I don't know. I feel like it's working for me.
Good for you.
I enjoy it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. And don't let your family, because sometimes you'll be identified as the black sheep because you are in therapy.
I already am.
Yeah, you're already.
it's a wrap. That's me already. I'm proud of it. That's me. I've always been like that.
It's a wrap.
100%. It's been me.
Done.
The whole time.
You're getting your dick sleeves.
I might.
We were talking about before we started rolling.
We talked about NDMs a while ago. Your tattoo. Yeah.
I have a tramp stamp that I'm getting removed. But what? Why are you?
But it's in your. But yours is interesting though. Without talking about it.
It sucks.
Because it's a dragon.
Yeah.
Of a band.
Oh, that's right.
Which I have 6 of those on me because I roadie for that band as my first job. And
this is the plot thickens with this tramp stamp. What's the name of the band again?
Sick of It All.
Sick of It All.
Somebody sent me a thing of you, like, do you know this? This is a while ago. I'm like, this comedian lady has.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's my tramp stamp. It's the Sick of It All dragon.
Yes. And I'm like, holy shit, is this random? And then I think we talked about it or something. You're like, it was a random off the wall because that is original tattoo flash. Correct.
Hilarious, dude. And so I picked that off a wall in Australia in the late 90s when I was 20 years old.
Which I have right here. You can see it. I have a little one right there on my wrist. I have 2 huge ones on my ribs.
Dude, you're covered.
Yeah, so like I work for that band. That's the band I wrote for. Yeah.
That's wild.
So I heard you had that.
No, I'm hardcore. You guys know me.
It's the only tattoo you have?
Yeah, I'm very like a pussy. But I love, can I tell you what I love? I love knuckle tats.
Yeah.
And one day when my husband and I have fuck you money, I'm going to get fuck you money. And then you've got a piggy and a cow because you're vegetarian or vegan.
Yes.
Are you vegan?
Mm-hmm, vegan, yes.
Dang, homie.
I got my finger. I love my finger. It took me a long time. I made a bunch of contracts with my wife. I'll never do my hands. I'll never do my face.
Oh.
They were like on the wall of my house throughout my life. And I just like, I do something. I make a deal with her. And I go inch out onto my hands. And then finally I was just like, fuck it. Got my hands done. I got my whole head done. I'm never going to do my face.
That's what I was going to ask
you
about.
I'm going to keep this nice. Keep my face nice.
Keep the moneymaker tight.
Yeah, keep the moneymaker face. Yeah. But everything else.
Everything else. And you said that you know of people that do their D's.
D's and taints, all that stuff, yeah.
Dick sleeves?
Yeah.
Google dick sleeves. Let's take a look.
You were thinking to pull it up?
Oh, yeah.
So
you can pull up. Well, listen, there's no boundaries on this show. Oh, fuck.
My wife saw me naked. She's like, you're missing a spot. And there's a couple spots down around my area that I could get that aren't on it exactly. And, oh, my, that's just like a dick fit.
Where is it? Oh, there it is. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Dude, he even got the head done. Like, that's wild, bro. And
so
the balls?
I think what they do is they take it and they stretch it around the wrist. And that's how they take it and they wrap it like that.
Are you being serious?
Swear to God.
They pull the dick skin and then that's...
No, they pull the penis and they pull it over their wrist or something, and then that's how they stretch it out, because you have to get the ink in there because you have to do it when it's stretched. But I mean, I thought about getting like a, my wife's name's Moon, like a half moon on, surprise her on an anniversary. I don't know if I even do it. I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
What about people that are getting their eyeballs done?
That's gnarly, because I heard you can go... For what I've seen some things, I'm not a professional, but people going blind or having some issues, I would imagine. I know, dude. It's
no
crazy.
Shit.
I know.
What? I mean.
It'd be cool to get love on my taint for tainted love. That'd be kind of sick.
Yo. Soft cell.
Soft cell.
I
yes.
love soft cell. Nonstop Erotic Cabaret was one of my favorite CDs. You know, you remember that too, the experience of listening to an entire, oh, I got to go, I got to take my kid to your doctor. The entire, like listening to an entire album, even if like the songs you fucking didn't like, you'd end up liking eventually.
Of course.
You know?
Of course. The whole record.
The repetition.
Or just reading the thank you list or like the credits and then finding other bands from that and searching
yeah.
for music.
Yeah.
And
that was fun.
With record collecting. You collect vinyl?
I do now. I just went back to it and I got the essential punk rock stuff for my kids and, you know, some whatever.
Are they liking the punk rock?
Yeah, my older dude likes the Circle Jerks.
Yes, the best. Group Sex, one of the best records
Group
ever.
Group Sex is my favorite.
And they're still playing. The singer's like 70 or 60s.
Is that right?
My bad, 60, late 60, yeah, killing it live.
Wow.
I love Group Sex. Yeah. It's a great album.
I don't play that song for him, but he's a little young.
Joy Division, you said?
I like that. I like Bauhaus.
Ooh, my wife loves Bauhaus.
Really?
She loves all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, dark.
My son knows that stuff too because of her. That's her thing.
That's my dark way. She's in the darkness.
Cure, Bauhaus,
same,
like
same.
Joy Division.
Love it. I routed my touring around Bauhaus. That's how fucking.
Really?
Yeah, I got emotional problems. But I connect to it. I connect to it. I'm going to get my dick sleeves.
No. No more tats for you.
No. I'm a fucking pussy.
And that one's coming up, right? It's getting, Go.
I've done the one treatment and it's not as bad. It's fine.
It's so fast. And they numb it with the ice and it's just really quick.
Yeah.
And it's just,
in and out. And then I go back in a month or something and then they'll do it again.
And that's it. No more tats.
And we're fucking done, bro. Listen, you have to come back to Austin. Bring the wife next time.
That'd be sick.
Bring your son.
Do a whole family episode?
I think you should. That's a great idea. I would like to. I'm curious because...
See the dynamics and shit.
Yeah, I like this because I feel like, you know, you and I had wacky upbringings and we kind of... You find out who you are the hard way and then you parlayed it into a great living and a great... I'm curious. Come back again. Will you come back and chat more?
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll have you when we come to LA too.
Yeah.
You ever come to LA? I check your dates. You're never really in LA.
I'll be there in the summertime.
Okay.
At the end of summer.
I'd love to have you in my pink podcastle.
Fuck yeah, bro. All right. I love you. Thank you
so
much.
Thanks for having me.
You guys have to check out his podcast, One Life, One Chance. He's very deep. He's very philosophical. I feel like you've done everything. And thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here. It was
rad.
It was
an honor to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you did. All right. Until next time, stay cool, moms. Bye.
Bye. Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at? Where my mom's at?